Yes, that line horn's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town.
On the fan. McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. I hope everybody had a great, happy, healthy Memorial Day weekend following the great Emmanuel Barry in the Yankee game as they take care of the Angels and they stay red hot. Ryan Yarbrough! Who saw this coming? The guy's been, had his moments as a reliever where he was okay, but he was pretty much hit around. I was in the ballpark one night. He almost blew a 4-run lead against Arizona, and now as a starter, absolutely dominant. We are going to have a conversation about Anthony Volpe because perception that I'm seeing publicly is absolutely bonkers. But where do you think we're starting? Let's go. We're here. It's game day. Every other day is game day. Game number 4. The series is not over. After that depressing, disgusting display of basketball that we saw in game 2, after the heartbreak of game 1, after being down 20 points, in game number 3, the New York Knicks do what they do best and wait for the last possible moment to get off the deck and show you something. And they come back from 20 points down earlier in the game. Was it 55-35 early in the game was the 20-point deficit? But 10 points heading into the fourth quarter, down by 10. And this New York Knicks team, and specifically Karl Anthony Towns, right? The two key figures of this game are Karl Anthony Towns and Tom Thibodeau. Those are the two main guys we look at this game, the matchup, the decision to change and tweak the starting rotation, the starting five, obviously. And, you know, Hart has come out since and said it was kind of his idea, he's willing to do it, blah, blah, blah. They talked about it. I'm not sure the impact it had because they played a lousy first half. But going to the bench, going to Shamet, going to Wright, Tibbs understanding that if you're going to run and keep pace with the Pacers, pun intended, you're going to have to play a little bit, right? The Shaq and Kenny Smith at the game had a great line, Kenny Smith. You know, Tibbs wouldn't play 9 in a baseball game. Well, he played 9 in game number 3 as he really showed you. And like, two things, right? Tibbs plays the bench. Obviously, Shamet and Wright are involved in this game, and we are seeing, you know, a 5 on the floor that we haven't seen all season. I think I saw a stat that there were 8 different 5-man rotations in the fourth quarter, and only 7 of them we saw at all during the regular season or in the second half, something like that. Like, they were playing guys who haven't played all postseason and playing it in different ways that we haven't seen all year. And in the fourth quarter, finally, Tibbs, with Brunson on the bench, down 10, decides to give the game to Karl Anthony Towns. The much maligned Karl Anthony Towns. Shaq saying that if he was a teammate, he'd punch him in the face at halftime because of some of his shot selection. The awful start to this game. The moments throughout this postseason going all the way back to the Pistons series, which feels like forever ago. Moments where he disappeared. Moments where he isn't tough enough. Moments where he can't finish around the rim. Moments where you wonder if this team made the right decision trading for him. Hell, you know it. Half the fan base is figuring out down 20 or at the half, figuring out this team's going to lose and go down 3-0. The game's over. And Karl Anthony Towns needs to get the hell out of town. We're all envisioning. Can you trade him? Who can you get for him? Is it possible to get Giannis? Would Milwaukee take him? Could you get, I don't know, Durant or anybody else in here? Because this matchup doesn't work. This mix doesn't work. And Karl Anthony Towns is soft. And he's nowhere to be found in these big moments. And then the fourth quarter. He absolutely takes over the game and saves the Knicks season. That was an incredible performance. Rebounding, you saw Josh Hart get some incredible rebounds, but Karl Anthony Towns rebounding, three-point shooting, getting to the basket, that dunk in the N1 to put them up for the first time all game. I mean, the moments we saw from Karl Anthony Towns, the adjustments we saw from Tibbs, the fight that this team continues to have, because I've been saying it, we trust them. I trust them. I trust this Knicks team. I trust it. I don't care how bad it was. We're all disappointed in what happened in game one. Now, I talked about how heading into game two, it was a different type of comeback because they've been great bouncing off the poor performance. They give you a poor performance, they come back with a great performance. That's what they give you low energy, they come back with great energy. That's what they've done. But game one, they had that good energy. Game one, they played the way they wanted to play. Game one, they had the game won up 17 points, up 14 points with 2.5 minutes left. And it was a little bit, it's different than blowing a game like that than just having the poor efforts that we saw in, say, game five against the Pistons or games three and five against the Celtics, where it was just, you know, they just got beat badly in the Celtics series, and they always bounce back. And they didn't bounce back in game number two. They were awful and have been awful at Madison Square Garden. And that needs to change, obviously, as now game five, which will happen, either down 3-1 or tied to 2, they have got to be better in their building. But tonight, we get to find out. Because I was just talking as I was walking in seeing Fleece for the first time. We were talking about Karl Anthony Towns. Because there is two kind of conversations around it for me. One, especially against this Pacers team that should have a problem defending a guy like Karl Anthony Towns, and we talked about it going into the series, about how we thought he could be a real significant player. You know, what he did in the fourth quarter was amazing. And he saved the season, and it's one of the great, I mean, listen, we've talked about signature moments from players on this team. Obviously, Brunson's had a bunch throughout last season, postseason, this postseason, the shot that seals the series against the Pistons, you know, everything else, all his 40-point games and everything, and well-deserved. I'm not trying to belittle it or just gloss over it, but we knew about Jalen Brunson. He's voted the most clutch player in the NBA. We know what he's capable of. We've watched it. He's great and has had his moments. But Mikal Bridges and his defense and the way he's played in the fourth quarter of some of these games, what he did in the Boston series. Like, we've had these moments. You know, even Mitch Robinson. For me, a signature moment in the Celtics series is them fouling him to get him off the floor. Like, Mitch Robinson and the way he's played defense, thrusted himself into the starting lineup for game number four. He's had signature moments. He's had big rebounds. He's had big defensive stops. He had that signature play on the closeout where he guarded the entire Celtic team and then closed out on Jaylen Brown. Like, they've had signature moments. This was Karl Anthony Towns' signature moment. And as much as it was, and as credible as it was, and as much as it led the Knicks to a victory they desperately needed, and now we are back to having a series. And by the way, don't tell me it's not a series until they tie it. It's a series right now. It is a series again. They're playing three games. Someone had to have lost two. If the Knicks were up 2-1, I don't think we'd be hearing a lot of the series is over. This is now a series. That game has thrusted this into a series. But Karl Anthony Towns, as great as it was, where is it? I want to see it tonight now. You need to stamp that performance if you're Karl Anthony Towns. You need to stamp that performance if you're the New York Knicks. This has to be. Because can they win down 3-1? From what they've shown us, every time their back is against the wall, they play their best. Can they win down 3-1? I suppose it's highly unlikely. I wouldn't feel great about it. But I wouldn't put a death knell in them. I'd still believe in their ability to come back, win a game five, and then who knows what happens. But the momentum that following up tonight with a victory and a performance like that off of game number three, and obviously evening up the series, and obviously taking both on the road and watching them spoil a 2-0 lead. That's what they need to do if they want to get through this series. That's what they need to do. Tonight is obviously a huge game, but it has to stamp game number three. And for Karl Anthony Towns specifically, he can't have a bad game tonight. He has got to show, because I don't think it was a fluke. I don't think it was a one-off. I don't think he's not capable of it every single night he is. And I know he doesn't get the whistle, and it seems to piss him off, and I think that's fair. I'm not, listen, I don't want to cry about the refs. It certainly hasn't been anything to do with why they've won or lost games. But do I think he gets fouled and doesn't get calls? Yeah, I do. I do. And I think it bothers him, but I think he's got to be more aggressive consistently, get to the basket, get his three-point shot involved, maybe not the ones he takes from half court. But Karl Anthony Towns tonight, you want to look for both things that change the game in game number three to be impactful in game number four. You don't want going into the deeper rotation from Tibbs. You don't want Shamet and Wright playing, which I think tonight, I mean, Tibbs has to continue to do this, right? Like, he has to play these guys into this game. Not only did Shamet and Wright's defense impact the second half, but their ability to just take minutes and have a more fresh OG Anunoby, have a more fresh Jalen Brunson, who didn't come back into the game with, what, three minutes left in the fourth quarter? Them playing those minutes makes the guys they need in the impact moments better. And if they can handle themselves and be, you know, positive, was it plus five, plus four? Like, if they can be plus players helping defensively, running out there with Cat running the offense with Shamet and Wright, it was unbelievable. Who would have saw that coming? Cat dominating the game with guys we haven't seen all series playing major minutes? It was fun to watch. It was exciting to watch. But both of those things, because you feel like maybe you found something. Playing those guys helped the team. Maybe you found a little bit of a defensive answer that you haven't found with, let's be honest, Jalen Brunson on the floor. Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns on the floor at the same time. Josh Hart, great at rebounding, tough loose balls and everything. Not the greatest defender, and his shot comes and goes. Maybe you found something, and that's why tonight you want to stamp the positives. You want to come out, you want to play 9 or 10, you want to play Shamet and Wright, and you want them to have the impact they had in game number 3. You want it to feel like we have found something. And Karl Anthony Towns has got to step up and continue what he did in game number 3. Obviously, this is a huge game, and every time that we say this, every time we feel like it is a must-win, every time their back is up against the wall, they have won 3 playoff games now, down 20. 3, and another one, were they down 14 in game number 4 against the Celtics? I mean, they have come from behind time and time again. This team has shown fight. This team has shown grittiness. This team has shown you everything you could possibly want from the team you root for. It has been a pleasure. Now, they have to win the series or it's a devastating disappointment. But you have to admit, Knick fans, as frustrating as the blown game 1 was, as poor as the effort you got pretty much consistently in game number 2, although they were leading at half, third quarter and fourth quarter clearly where the second half was clearly where they lost game number 2. But as poor as that was, as ugly as the end of game 1 was, and as much as it sucked watching them go on that little run that led them up to a 20-point lead, as ugly as it was with our head in our hands figuring this series is lost and everybody figuring out how the hell they can get Karl Anthony Towns off this team, to watch them get off the deck and then in the manner they did it, they didn't do it with Jalen Brunson playing hero ball. They didn't do it with him going off and hitting threes. They did it with their bench and the guy they traded for to change the dynamics of this team and to lead them back to the NBA Finals. And in that moment, he was everything you could have wanted. He was an absolute beast. He saved the Knicks season. We would be having a much different conversation on this Tuesday morning at 1:30 if it weren't for Karl Anthony Towns. And now you need him to do it again. Because that's the thing about him. And it's fair. It's his MO. And you have to recognize it. He doesn't put these consistent efforts together. He was dominant in the fourth quarter. We need to see more of that. We have seen glimpses of it. Now, that glimpse in the fourth quarter saved their season, and he deserves all the flowers in the world for it, but he's got to come out and stamp it tonight with another performance like this, because against this team, He's capable of it. He can get into the paint and he can dominate these games. He's got to step up and do it. Tibbs has got to throw the ball to him. They got to run the offense through him at times. And hopefully they found something in game number three that can change the dynamic of this series. And in many ways, it already has. This is now a series. I don't care, you know, what's the cliche? It's not a series until the home. Well, this is the not a. It's not a series until the home team until the home team wins. It's been a weird series, but right now it's a series. They've played three games. Somebody had to lose two, and they've proven they can win in this building. They've proven there's no lead that they can't deficit they can't come back from, and they have proven if they need to play the bench, they can play the bench. If they need someone besides Jalen Brunson to take over a game, they have that in Karl-Anthony Towns. Nesmith is a game-time decision. I don't know if he's going to play or not, but if he doesn't play, and certainly no one's rooting for injury, but if he doesn't play or if he is compromised in some way, that is a big hit for the Indiana Pacers, and the Knicks need to come out tonight and take over this series. And all the momentum in the world going back to Madison Square Garden for a Game 5 with a crowd that's going to be absolutely insane, looking to take a 3-2 lead in this Eastern Conference Finals and get back to the first NBA Finals since 1999. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. We'll start with the Knicks. We'll get to the baseball season as this is now it. We have now passed Memorial Day weekend. The first real tentpole stop along the way, about a third of the way through the year. It's the first time you take a look, you poke your head up, and you see where you are in the standings, in your division. The Yankees have the largest division lead in baseball. The Mets, after going through it for a little bit, have an enormous series victory over the LA Dodgers. They follow it up and avoided what would have been a tough loss against the Chicago White Sox with a bunch of clutch hits and a big eighth inning. So we'll get to it all. We'll see where these teams stand, what we're looking at, and we got to have a couple of conversation around a couple of players for both teams. Vientos, Beatty. Who's the starting third baseman for your New York Mets? And then, of course, Anthony Volpe, who is one of the more interesting fan reaction, misunderstood and misinterpreted players I can remember in a long time.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right. 1:39 on this Tuesday morning. The day after Memorial Day. Hope everybody had a great weekend. The weather wasn't so great. Sunday night, we had a party at a neighbor's house. It was a great time. Outdoor party, outdoor TV, a little chilly. Rained for a little bit, but make sure the Knicks were on. I'm, you know, acting like a maniac while everybody else is making s'mores, and I'm yelling, oh my, the guy never gets a call. I think that's what my son said. He came up to me like 5 minutes later. He's like, who doesn't call daddy? I'm like, I don't know, but I really don't know. I'm not sure what I was saying. I'm pacing all over the place. They're making s'mores, going in the hot tub. I'm at the table eating my fingernails and drinking a beer. Because that was something else, man. That was something else. We all thought the same thing. That game was over. That game was dead. This series is over. And everything we thought about this team, that was like the thing too. Like, it was like, man, I trusted this team. I believed in this team. And that second half performance in game two and following it up by getting blown out in Indiana, it was ugly. And that would have been a hideous loss. And it would have made us, you know, listen, this is the nature of the beast, man. You beat the Celtics. You beat Goliath. You beat the team no one said you could beat. And I don't, again, I know nobody's saying it at the moment, but I don't care who was injured in that series. They were up 3-1 in that series before anyone got hurt.
Right. I understand Porzingis wasn't at full strength or whatever, but Tatum was that there for the first four games of that series, and the Knicks had a 3-1 lead. They beat the Boston Celtics, the defending champs. Nobody thought they could do it. And that is such a high and such a win for this team. It's one of the better victories in the history of the franchise. I firmly believe that. Other than the championships, that's one of the better, and God knows how long ago those were, that's one of the better series and postseason series wins that franchise has ever had. And yet, we were a quarter of a way down 10 points from feeling like, who gives a damn? Who cares they beat the Celtics? This is embarrassing. This is a joke. What happened to this team? And then Karl-Anthony Towns happened to this team with an incredible performance. And like I said, he needs to follow it up tonight. That's the thing to me. As great as it was, and it was great. And I even, you know, tweeted it out. I said, are we okay with Karl-Anthony Towns around? Because I'll call him out. Connor Hughes. Love him. Does a great job covering the Jets and Giants for SNY. Got to trade Cat. Everyone's all, oh, got to get rid of this bum. Got to, you know, Shaq's on TV talking about I'd punch him in the face if he was taking those shots on my team. Blah, blah, blah. You know, everyone's killing Karl-Anthony Towns. We got to move on from him. What can you get for him? And then the guy goes on an absolute rampage in the fourth quarter. But as great as it was, and as much as it saved their season, he needs to do it again tonight to save their season. He's got to put back-to-back performances like that and stamp what he did and show us that he's capable of this on a nightly basis and not one of these guys who have great nights, bad nights. You know, I just saw Julius Randle had, what, 5 points in this game last night? Killing it to start the series. Then comes up small. And I don't want, you know, let's be fair. Karl-Anthony Towns can prove or has proved he's capable of it. He's got to prove he could do it on a night-in, night-out basis. This is a huge game for Karl-Anthony Towns, a huge game for Tibbs and how he's going to handle the bench. Huge game for these Knicks tonight. 888-808-1019. Omar in the Bronx. What's up, Omar? Omar, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I got you. What's up?
What's going on? Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Want to talk my Knicks. Anthony Towns, I was expecting this from him. I actually put my money on the Knicks and Anthony Towns to score over 20 in that game because I didn't think they could win if he didn't.
You were not looking good in the third quarter.
You're damn right. Yeah. I'm like, they're not going to win unless he gets at least 25. I don't know how he's going to do it. Yeah. And I was upset because the first half, if you saw the game, Brunson had a terrible game. He was forcing the ball in the first half, forcing everything, and they're not giving – they need to have Anthony Towns in their game plan. They need to go to him as much as they can early. When they give him the ball, he can be dominant. But he wasn't even taking any shots. They weren't giving him the ball. And then when they started they had to give him the ball when Brunson was out in foul trouble. And when they started going to him, I mean, that changed everything.
Well, listen, I think yeah, but that's a little unfair. I don't disagree with your point completely, and I've said that at times. I blame Tibbs a lot in the Piston series for this. This is long enough. They've gone on long enough. He's played a lot. It's not just that, oh, they've got to get him the ball. Like he has to be more impactful in the games. And it's on him. And Tibbs did trust him. He finally trusted him because I know the season's on the line. I know he's in foul trouble, but he could have easily went to Brunson and said, screw it, don't get a foul. Like,
yeah, he has to stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah, they all have to stay out of foul trouble. But now maybe it'll be a little easier to stay out of foul trouble if he's going to run his bench a little bit more and play nine guys or so.
Because maybe
they could take some. Yeah, and listen, that's the other part of this. And thank you for the call, Omar. The other part of this is Tibbs going to the bench and how that worked and the defense that we saw from Shamet Wright. Like it really did impact the team and impact the way they played and impacted the Pacers who weren't, I don't want to say ill prepared for it because I think they have one of the better head coaches in Carlisle in the NBA, but it just threw a different wrinkle at them and they didn't play through it well and they struggled offensively down the stretch. And Karl-Anthony Towns was able to take over. Now, again, I don't think it's fair to just say, hey, feed him the ball. But there's no doubt. In the fourth quarter, that was the plan. They came out, and he's on the floor with, you know, guys who haven't played all series. It was Let's go. I remember during the broadcast, they said it a couple times. It was like, for both teams, Reggie Miller was talking about. He's like, well, who's going to score now for the Pacers? Who's going to score now for the Knicks? And it was Karl Anthony Towns. And he just was dominant. Going to the basket, putting up the threes. I mean, it was amazing. He saved the Knicks season. And now he's got to do it again tonight. Now you say, you know, you got to feed him the ball. Fine. He's got to take it too. And he's got to be more successful with it earlier in the game. And as much as they've been successful down 20 points, you don't want to see that again. So they got to come out and give a great effort from the jump. I mean, listen, this is a huge game tonight. I cannot wait for tonight's basketball game. This is a huge game. They've played so much better on the road. So have the Pacers, for that matter. The home teams have been terrible in the series. Obviously, they've lost every single game. But this is, you know, you got to feel like this is the Knicks need to win this game if they're going to win the series. That's what losing that game number two on Friday night forced. They had to come into Indiana and take both. They're down 20 points early in the game, and you figured this thing is long over. And somehow, miraculously, they find a way to go on a fourth quarter run and get one of the great performances we've seen from a New York Knick in a postseason game in a long time in Karl Anthony Towns. He took over the fourth quarter. We've seen Jalen Brunson do it, no doubt. But in an Eastern Conference Finals game, obviously we haven't. An Eastern Conference Finals game to save you from going down 3-0, down 10 points in the fourth quarter, and it starts out quick. He hits that first three in the fourth, and away they went. Now you got to give Hart credit too. As poorly as he's played in this series, and I think Josh Hart has had his worst series by far. He's part of the decision to put him on the bench, and he comes in and he got huge rebounds, a huge rebound at the end of that game. He does make the winning plays. You got to give him credit. He is a winning ball player. He doesn't trust his shot enough. And, you know, he's not a great shooter, obviously, but he doesn't seem to trust it enough. He should take the open looks a little bit more than he does. Defensively, he's not a excellent defensive player. He's an effort guy, but he's not a overly skilled or talented, you know, defender necessarily, but he'll make a defensive stop when he has to. And he is just the guy who's there at the right moment for a steal, guy at the right moment to take it coast to coast, a guy at the right moment to get a huge rebound. I mean, he gets back-breaking rebounds. I mean, that's and Mitch Robinson, the same thing. He is an absolute beast. I mean, Mitchell Robinson has had such an impact in both of these series. He has been incredible. And I wonder if they're going to start that same starting lineup. I didn't think it impacted it all that much necessarily to change that starting lineup. But, you know, Mitch and Towns together does kind of provide a different look and an issue for a Pacers team that, you know, can be dominated in the paint, as we've seen. But this is, you know, tonight's one of those games. They got to show up. And they haven't handled prosperity at all, this Knick team. Like, they have yet to put real back-to-back performances together. I mean, they won they won back-to-back games in Detroit and then back-to-back games in Boston, but let's be honest. I mean, it was miracles that they won both of those games. They are yet to really, it really doesn't feel like they have put together back-to-back big-time efforts. And you can argue they were terrible in the first half of Game 3. I mean, it was a run. They've gone on these runs down big that somehow pull out these victories. It's incredible. But, like, to me, they've got to come out and make a statement again. And Karl Anthony Towns, and we'll see how Tibbs handles it, but those adjustments and the way Karl Anthony Towns finished the game, those things have to be prevalent again. You got to feel like you found something here. If they start out the game and Karl Anthony Towns is timid and they're playing right and Shamit and they're getting beat off the dribble and they're not hitting their shots and, you know, they have to quickly revert back to bringing in, you know, OG Anunoby or Hart, whoever they take off the bench, like, it's going to feel like, okay, that was a fluke. I don't want the Pacers to think this is a fluke in any way. Huge game tonight. If they can come back to Madison Square Garden tied at two, this series completely shifts. Completely shifts. And they got to find a way to play better at home. But this team has really struggled with prosperity at every turn. They need to be desperate. I still think they're desperate tonight, so I expect a big effort.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
And, you know, for a guy like Tibbs, who has an MO, we talked about MO of Carl Anthony Towns and him being soft or him not showing up in the biggest of games and kind of breaking that MO. The ultimate MO breaker was Tibbs in this game. I mean, this is a guy stuck in his ways. This is a guy, the minutes policer certainly have been out in full force this year as much as any other year. Mikal Bridges, his own players commented on the amount of minutes they played during the course of the season. You got Kenny Smith, like I said, with the great line that Tibbs wouldn't play nine in a baseball game. He just hasn't deviated from that plan. We did not expect it. I know I was saying it. I heard Evan talking about it. Like, they're not, no matter how many guys the Pacers play, no matter how many guys the Pacers roll out, no matter how much the Pacers try and run and push the pace, you know, Tibbs is not going to go play guys we haven't seen. And he completely, you know, went away from it. We saw right early in this game. I mean, we saw him establish that he was going to go into the bench more than he has in the past. I mean, it was really one of those moments where you're like, wow, Tibbs. Like, you know, it's a fine line with it a little bit. Now, look, they helped. They played well. It was Tibbs showing faith in his team and making a decision that he thought would, you know, kind of set a different wrinkle. And why not? They were getting their asses kicked for a lot of the early part of the game. But it also, and we talk about this a lot with managers and head coaches, you don't want to, in that moment, go out of the ordinary and create an atmosphere of, oh man, he must think we're really screwed. You don't want to create panic in those moments. You don't want that, oh man, he never does this. We must really be in trouble. Like, you don't want to deviate from your normal plan because it sets that kind of tone of like, geez, he's pulling out every stop. Not sometimes it's obvious, down 20 points of a 7-game series, game number 3, to go down 3-0. Like, yeah, I guess it's kind of obvious that they're in somewhat of a desperation mode. But still, you don't want your manager or your coach acknowledging it by going outside of his norm to do something. But this clearly had an impact. It was a huge move for Tibbs, who is as stuck in his ways as any coach in the NBA, and that's his MO. Right, we talk about adjustments, offensive adjustment, defensive adjustments. Guys have been all over Tibbs. The fan base, as you get further and these games get more pressurized and you're in the Eastern Conference Finals and things don't go well, it's all, you know, Carl Anthony Towns has to go. It was a terrible trade. Tibbs is not the coach to get these guys. He's getting completely coached in circles by one of the better coaches in the NBA in Carlisle. It's not even close. It's embarrassing. You know, this was the talk. And he really stepped up and went outside the box and played players I never thought would have seen. I never thought Wright was going to see the series. Never did. Wasn't sure Shamet was going to see this series. And instead, he went to them in big-time minutes and allowed Carl Anthony Towns and the bench to take over the game in the fourth quarter. And I know Brunson's in foul trouble. He's still, you know, that's a scary proposition. And he trusted his guys. And I think that was the message that got through more than, oh crap, we better do something out of the norm. It was, I trust you. And it was a big game for Tibbs. It's a big game for Carl Anthony Towns. And they got to stamp it with tonight's performance because, I mean, obviously we know how important the game is. We know how important the game is. But Carl Anthony Towns has got to be able to do this. He's got to be able to show that on back-to-back nights, back-to-back games, he's capable of dominating. It's not just a one-off. And we'll see how Tibbs handles the bench. See if he goes back to the same formula. See if they found something here in a game number 3 to really help them transform this series.